Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Duke Backus. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
Tonight I'm going to take us down a little bit of a road, and I felt the Lord impress upon me a few days ago now. It's been a few days. I wanted to minister to you on the subject of words and speech. And I've entitled the message this evening, A War of Words. But before we get into that, I want to read you a couple little funnies here. There was a husband, and he read an article to his wife. Husbands, do you ever read to your wife? Anybody? Yeah, all right. He read an article to his wife about how women use an average of 30,000 words a day to a man's 15,000 words a day. And the wife replied, she goes, well, that's because we have to repeat everything to men. And the husband, he turned to his wife and he said, what? So that'll just show you. I believe, church, we are living in a very interesting time, in a very unusual time, in a time that we have seen and witnessed that has been like no other. Amen? And we live in a society, church, where people will reveal their most personal information in the most public forums in ways without thought or hesitation. You know, if any of you have social media, then you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. People will reveal their just stuff that they're going through. They'll put on their, you know, things that they did or places that they're going, and they're very, you know, adamant about putting information out into the world. And it's important for us to recapture this piece of wisdom, because we have to understand, church, that in the society that we are living in, the enemy can quickly twist your words. Did you know that? The enemy can do everything in his power to want to shift something, to want to twist something, and to want to deceive people. And so I believe that truly wise believers, they do not feel the need to tell everything they know to everyone that they meet, but they have a temperament about their life. They have a guardedness about their life, a protection about their life, and instead they choose their words with care, recognizing the responsibility that comes with speech. How many of you know that that speech is a gift from God? Amen. It is something that God has given us, that He has allowed us to have, church, to function, and not only in the supernatural, but in the natural. And so speech is something that is incredibly important, and I want to impress this upon your hearts tonight, that we need to be very careful what we say. I'll say that one more time. We need to be very careful with what we say. Do you know that words create atmosphere? Words create environment. Words create everything. And so the Bible says that Jesus, in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36, you can open your Bibles there. If not, you should see it on the screen. Matthew 20, 12 and 36 says this. He says, I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. He says, for by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Now Jesus at this point of time was speaking to a group of Pharisees who had just finished accusing him of using Beelzebub as his means of casting out demons. And so they were accusing Jesus, and they were speaking things harshly against Jesus because they were challenging the very authority that Jesus had come with. And they were saying things that they really didn't know or they shouldn't have been saying. They were using words in such a way, they were saying things that were blasphemous. And they were using their speech in such a way, and Jesus had to tell them this. He said, listen, hold on a second. Before you keep talking, I need to remind you of this very truth. You will have to give an account on that day for every word that you've spoken. You will either be acquitted, which is freed, or you will be condemned, which is to be judged by your own words. And we understand, church, we've read our Bibles, or at least I pray that you have. In the book of Genesis, we see that it was God that formed everything through what? The spoken word. God formed everything in this world and in existence today through the spoken word. He declared the heavens and the stars to be in their place. He declared the earth to be formed. He declared it to be full of water. He declared that His Spirit would hover over the earth. He declared all these things, church, and it was so. How many of you know that man is made in the image of God? Amen? That is, we are created in the likeness of God to function the same way that God functions. The only difference, though, is that we were born into a fallen and sinful world. Amen? We were born into a world that is doing everything it can to pull us into the grips of Satan, into those things where all of a sudden we misuse the authority, we misuse the blessing, we misuse the very thing that God has given us as a resource and as a tool. I believe that in the beginning of time, the Lord spoke these things to create. He spoke things to form, to declare, to establish, to fulfill. He spoke words to rebuke. He spoke words to correct, to discipline, to affirm, to comfort, to heal, and to bless. How many of you brought your Bibles tonight? Show me your Bible. If you have your Bible, show it to me. This Bible is full of words. Amen? And these words have come out of the mouth of God. And guess what? Some of them are going to be tough. Amen? Guess what? Some of them are going to be tough. It's like a recipe. How many of you like recipes? You probably don't like recipes. You just like what they create, right? You like the end result of the recipe. You like to taste what the recipe is. But how many of you have ever taken a recipe and you've said, you know what? I want to make this very same thing because I ate it at this awesome restaurant and it tasted so good. I'm going to take it home and I'm going to make it. And it's going to taste just the same so I don't have to go to the restaurant anymore. And the first thing that everyone does when they open up the recipe, they look in the cookbook and they see, ooh, what's in there? Ooh, onion. I don't like onion. Oh, man, paprika. What's paprika? I'm not going to put paprika in there. And they start dissecting everything out of this recipe. When they finally get the end product of that which they have created, it tastes nothing like the original. Because they've chosen to omit things, they've chosen to take out things, they've chosen to subtract things out of it for their own desire. The Word of God, church, 2 Timothy 3:16 says is useful for correcting, for training, for rebuking, for teaching in righteousness. You can't take anything out of it, or else you're not going to get the desired result. We need to intake everything that this word says. We need to impart within our hearts and within our lives, church, everything that this word says. We live in a feel-good society. We live in a society, church, that is often, if they don't like something, what do? They don't do it. They say, oh, don't talk to me that way, or don't, correct me, or don't discipline me, or don't, this to me. And they live in such a way where they basically just, shut people out of their lives, and they have things like block buttons and unfollow buttons so that they don't have to deal with certain people that maybe rub them the wrong way. Wouldn't it be nice if God unfollowed you? Wouldn't it be nice if God blocked you? But no, the Lord is faithful. The Lord is in our life until the bitter end. He's going to see this thing through with us. He's going to see you through all of these things. But with this very thing called words, with this very thing called speech, church, comes a great responsibility. With receiving these words comes a great responsibility. That you and I must adhere our lives to this. That is, we must bind ourselves to this very book, church, of life, so that everything that it contains can be fulfilled in us. Amen? But many times we forget the power of words, and we neglect the effect that our words have towards us or towards others. Y'all remember that saying that says, sticks and stones will what? Will break my bones. But what does it go on to say? But words will never hurt me. That guy was a liar. Let's just call it like it is. I remember my dad taught me that when I was a little kid. I must have been 3, 4, 5 years old. I don't remember how old I was. He said, son, sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt you. You know what? Words can hurt. Words can damage. Words can affect. Words can shape the course of history, or words can destroy somebody. Come on, that's the power of a spoken word. And if you've ever had somebody bless you with words, and they blessed you in the name of Jesus, and they blessed you, and they encouraged you, and they lifted you up, maybe they had to discipline you, maybe they had to correct you in love, they spoke truth into your life, guess what? It's life for your soul. But if you've ever had somebody come against you with words, they've cursed you, that is, they've spoken something ill towards you, they've tried to bash you, they've tried to say something about your life, and they've tried to curse you, it hurts if it gets inside your soul. It hurts if it gets inside of your heart. Ill-timed words, church, can hurt the ears that they pierce. Did you know that? Did you know that? An ill-timed word can do damage to a soul if not carefully approached. Sometimes people think that they need to just say what's on their mind. Ah, man, that's like the worst thing you can do. Husbands, let me just give you a little advice. Don't say what's on your mind. Pray about it. Amen? Pray about it. Ladies, don't just say what's on your mind. Don't just say what's on your mind on social media. Pray about it. Take it to the Lord. Before you're quick to respond, before you're quick to say something, pray over that very thing. Destructive words, curse words, when they're aimed at somebody, they have the ability to tear down, because words are incredibly powerful, church. Words are incredibly powerful, and when believed, they can convince anybody of anything. That is the power of a spoken word. They can convince anybody of anything, and we see that in society today. How many people are believing things that are utter lies? They're saying green is not green anymore, it's red. They're saying 2 + 2 is not 4 anymore, it's whatever definition you want it to be. They say that the gender is not as it was formed to be. They've believed a lie. Why? Because the power of a spoken word has the ability to make anybody believe it. It is that powerful, church. It is that powerful. It can convince anybody that they can believe something, and all of a sudden it is. Words can convince those, though, that believe in the Word of God, that nothing is impossible. This spoken word has the very ability, church, to shift your mind, to change your heart, to redirect your path in such a way that you can look at an impossible situation and actually view it as possible. Because that is the power of the God that we serve. These words are not dead. I'll say it one more time. These words are not dead. These words have not changed. They have not fallen by the wayside. The Bible says that this word, church, is alive and it's active. It is alive and it's active, and it has not changed. But we carry this word, church, in our life. We carry the Word of God through us everywhere we go. And we have the ability, church, the God-given ability to speak that which is truth to any situation, to any circumstance. Romans 10 and 17 says this, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. What is the message? It's the Word of God. And the message is heard through the word about Christ. Faith, the very ingredient that you need to see the impossible become possible, only happens when you're listening to this. It only grows and it only develops when you are listening to this. When you're listening to truth. But if you're listening to something that is false, if you're listening to something that is made up, if you're listening to something that is not edifying, how can your faith be built and how can you see the impossible become possible? It cannot happen outside of hearing this. And this must be unadulterated, it must be complete, it must be the full gospel, or else you will not see it all come to pass. Our faith is built through hearing the word over and over and over again, the very word of God. It is something that happens inside of you that when you listen to this and you ingest it and you take it in, all of a sudden your faith is built. But listen, let me ask you an important question tonight. What happens when you listen to anything outside of the word of God? If your faith is built when you listen to the word of God, what is being built by the other things that you listen to? What is being built in your heart and in your life when you're listening to the news? I can guarantee you it's not faith. How many of you have been so inspired by watching the news lately? How many of you just feel like walking on water with Jesus because you've watched the news lately? Or how many of you feel like just chasing every devil out of town because you watched the news lately? No, it doesn't happen. In fact, what the news imparts into your life is everything opposite of faith. It's fear. It's worry, it's anxiety, it's hatred, it's anger, it's bitterness, it's resentment. It's all of these malicious things because you see something and all of a sudden it's made you believe something, church. It has made you shift your mind and your heart to all of a sudden receive some kind of news that affects you. It affects the way you think. It affects what is happening in your life. And so the question is so important. What happens when you listen to anything outside of the Word of God? What does listening to gossip build inside of somebody? That's a good time for the church to say amen. What does listening to gossip build inside of you? I'll tell you what it doesn't do. It doesn't fill you with the power of the Holy Spirit. It does not edify you. In fact, it opens doors for Satan to work in your life. It builds strongholds and it builds footholds for the enemy to stand on in your life. Because you've chosen to receive something that God was not pleased by. It builds roots of bitterness and unforgiveness, and it erects division and hatred. How many of y'all have ever listened to something that somebody told you about somebody else, and all of a sudden you began to feel something towards somebody that did nothing to you? Has that ever happened to you? Somebody told you something, you know what, Pastor Duke, man, I don't like that guy. That Pastor Duke, man, he's somebody else. I don't like him. And all of a sudden you walked into church the next week, you started looking at me. Like, yeah, that Pastor Duke, yeah, there is something about that guy. I did nothing to you. Treated you fair, treated you kind. But all of a sudden, something that somebody said changed what you believed. The enemy is fast at work, church, in the times and in the season that we are living in. And he is doing everything in his power to change what you believe. He's doing everything in his might to change what you believe. And words have so much power, and when the place that they flow from is not tamed and it's not disciplined. How many of you know, what does the Bible say about the Spirit of God in us? It is a spirit of what? Of power? A spirit of what? Love? And of what? A sound mind or self-control. That's what the scripture says. It's not a spirit of fear. It's not a spirit of division. It's not a spirit of anger and hatred. Is it? No. It's a spirit of power. It's a spirit of love. It's a spirit of a sound mind. And so the place that the words flow from must be tamed and must be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. Because words can build for us an existence that that is self-destructive if not spoken carefully. And the reason this is so important, church, is this, is because I believe that the enemy has waged a war of words. I believe the enemy has done something in this season right now that he has tried to get people to react to one another. I think never before in history of time have we seen such an onslaught of words towards each other. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Never before in the history of time have we ever seen so many people arguing. It is incredible. And it's ridiculous because I'm not even talking about the world. I'm talking about the church. Okay? We deal with this work in-house first, okay? This is for the church. This is for the believers. This is a grown-up message tonight. I'm sorry, but I just got to let you know that real quick. We have to deal with the very things that we are saying, church. And we have to address our life, and we have to address how it is that we have been walking in this world. Because with everything that is going on, I want you to understand that words have the ability to build, and they have the ability to destroy. Now, sometimes a word needs to be spoken towards something that does need to be destroyed. Amen? If it's a principality of the enemy that has come against to challenge the word of God, then absolutely that word can be sent to destroy that very thing. Amen? But I have to get this picture in your mind, and if you can picture this with me for a second, every word is like a brick or it's like a wrecking ball. Some words are building up goodness and strength and protection and healing, and other words are destroying hearts and they're tearing down others. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. If you have your Bibles, you can open them up there. It says, do not let any unwholesome, now let me stop there for a second. That means not nourishing. It means not good for one's health. It means not good for one's mental, physical, and spiritual health. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Amen. He says, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Verse 31, get rid of all bitterness, all rage, all anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Verse 32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. Now let's unpack this verse a little bit, because the implication is not to say what is unhealthy for a person to hear. It doesn't say that you cannot correct or discipline. Okay? It doesn't say that. But rather, those who will open their mouths must consider if the words they are choosing to use are building someone else up. That is in their faith. That is to edify them. Okay? This is what the scripture is talking about. Now, you can build somebody up by correcting them. Jesus has a way, and I was sharing this with a sister right before service. Jesus has such a powerful way, church, to where he can cut off every single branch in your life that does not produce fruit. But he does it in such a way that he does it in love. So if you could picture Jesus taking the shears or something to cut a branch off of a tree, as soon as he does it, his hand is already there to be able to mend the wound. And how many of you know the truth? Sometimes it hurts, okay? Sometimes truth is that pill that nobody likes to swallow. In fact, it's uncomfortable. It could taste bitter. It does all sorts of things to us. But in that very instance, when the Lord has to cut something off of your life, he immediately begins the healing process so that growth and the proper fruit can be produced in return. And so this is not saying that you cannot say something to somebody that is not constructive. That's not what the word is saying. You can absolutely say something to somebody that is constructive. But listen, truth without love can never be a part. Amen? Jesus always spoke the truth in love. He always spoke the truth in love. Sometimes people tell you the truth, and it could be true. But if it isn't spoken in love, then it's not complete. And so we understand that sometimes people don't desire correction, but correction is necessary. Amen? And so I believe what the scripture is saying right here is he's absolutely saying that this can be done in such a manner. You can tell somebody something in a manner that is edifying, that is, that builds them up, that's constructive, that's instructive. It can bless their life and it can help them. But he goes on to say this, but do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. And then he goes on to say, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. I heard it once said this, like this. How many of you know that the Holy Spirit is alive? Amen. The Holy Spirit is living inside of your life. The Holy Spirit rests upon you. And the Bible speaks of the Holy Spirit when Jesus was baptized in water like a dove, right? The Bible says that he descended like a dove upon Jesus. Now, if we can be reminded just for a second, if we could picture a dove, and many of you have seen doves, you know, maybe in your house, in your yard, in your trees. If you've ever known anything about a dove is a very skittish bird. A skittish means that they get easily startled. They'll just fly off, you know, like nothing. And so the implication here that I believe we must understand about the Holy Spirit and not grieving the Holy Spirit is this, is that if the Holy Spirit was on you right now like a dove, then every movement, everything that you say, every action should always be with the dove in mind. Amen? Everything that we say should always be carefully considered as to not startle the dove. Everything that we do, every move that we make. Can I remind us tonight, church, that the God that we serve is omnipresent. He's everywhere all the time. He hears our thoughts. He knows our motives. When you thought the conversation was only heard between you and the other person, he was there. He hears arguments. He hears conversations. He hears everything, church. He hears slander. He hears gossip. And I can say that he hears all of these things. But when he hears things come out of your mouth and out of your life that are not pleasing to him, I believe his heart is grieved like the grieving of a parent when their child disobeys. For those of you that are parents, and you've raised children and you've taught them the right way, and you know that you've said certain things to them to say, listen, you know, you don't do this, you don't say that, you don't act that way. And when the child disobeys, it's not something that really angers you as much as it hurts you. Because you've shown them the right way. You've given them the tools to be successful. You've given them the tools to have the right behavior. And I believe that when the Lord hears gossip, he hears slander, he hears words come out of a child of God's mouth that are forbidden, that might grieve him, I believe that the Lord is disappointed. Because the mouth that he has given us, church, to have that same power that his mouth possesses, it can create, it can heal, it can bless, it can comfort, it can show gratitude and affirmation, or it can pierce, cut, curse, and destroy. And so this very same mouth that he has given us, when we open our mouth, we must consider if the Holy Spirit would approve. And so these verses go on to say in verse 31, get rid of all bitterness. Get rid of it. You got freed from Egypt through the blood of Jesus. Why would you want to go back? Why would you want to go back to the very grave that God resurrected your life out of and dig up the things that God doesn't approve of? Why would we desire somehow to go back to those things that God has saved us from? He says, so get rid of all bitterness, all rage, all anger, brawling and slander along with every form of malice. He said, get rid of it. It is non-productive to your life. In fact, it's destroying your life. It is destroying you from the inside out if you do not get rid of it. He goes on to say, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. Now, he's still talking about speech because it boils down to forgiving others and being ultimately forgiven by God. This is what it boils down to in every situation. With your words, you will either be condemned or you will either be acquitted. 1 Peter 3 and 9 says this, do not repay evil with evil. There's some evil people in this world. But you don't need to respond just like they do. Don't repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing. Because to this you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. Verse 10, for whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. Can I tell you, church, that a lot of people are robbed of living because they've eaten the destructiveness of their own words. Proverbs 18 and 20, if you don't believe me, from the fruit of their mouth a person's stomach is filled. With the harvest of their lips they are satisfied. The tongue has the power of life and death. And those who love it will eat its fruit. But you're going to be filled with one or the other. You're going to be filled with death. You're going to be filled with life. Have you ever encountered a person that is so hopeless? They're so bitter. Anybody ever encounter somebody that's just like, I mean, they're in the dumps. They sound like Job from chapter 3 to chapter 30. And they're just, woe is me. My life is despair. I don't know if I can go on another day. Everything that they say is with a tone of hopelessness, with maybe they're bitter towards God or they're angry or they have some kind of unforgiveness in their life. And if you pay careful attention, church, you'll see that it's because of the words that they have spoken into existence that has not built for them blessings of life in God, but rather it's exposed to them the destruction of the enemy. It has constructed something in their life that is building snares of death all around them from what they say. What they confess. If we could be saved and receive salvation, church, through a confession and a belief that Jesus died for our sins, you best believe that whatever you confess that is not of the Word of God, that is not of the Lord, can bring you death. This is what the Word is implying, and this is what it says. This is why the Lord has said countless times in the Bible to rehearse and meditate upon His Word. Because what is the Word of God? The Word of God is life, church. It is life. It is life-giving. Psalms 119 and verse 13 says, with my lips I recount all of the laws that come from your mouth, God. Psalm 63 and verse 3 says, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. Amen. It goes on to say in Psalm 141 and verse 3, it says, so set a guard over my mouth, Lord, and keep watch over the door of my lips. I'll read that one more time. Set a guard over my mouth, Lord, and keep watch over the door of my lips. Because why is watching what we say so important? Psalms 100 verse 4, you know this verse. Every one of us knows this verse. It says, so enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. And enter what? His courts with praise. It says, give thanks to him and praise his holy name. Because let me teach you something tonight. Thankfulness is your access point. It is your access point into the presence of God. And praise allows you to abide there. I'll say it one more time. That is, your thankfulness is an access point into the presence of God, and praise will allow you to abide there. But just as thankfulness and praise give you access to the presence of God and His protection and His promises, then what does complaining and cursing and condemning and gossip get you? It operates the same way. Instead, you've given access to the enemy and his strongholds in your life. Never forget this, church. Never forget this, that loose tongues strengthen chains. I've seen people fight against something in their life over and over and over and over again, and they've never been freed because they have a loose tongue. Let that not be you. Amen? That is, they have said things in their life, they've spoken certain things into existence in their life, and therefore the chain just gets stronger. But I'm not here to talk to you about how a chain is in existence in your life. I'm here to talk to you about the chain-breaking power of Jesus Christ. Jesus can break off any chain in your life, church, including the chain of having a loose tongue. Including the very thing that the enemy is waging war against, your own words, your own speech, the Lord can break that thing off and the Lord can change it for His good. Because from the same mouth, church, cannot flow sweet water and salty water. From the same mouth cannot flow curses and blessing. From the same mouth, it can't just be simply, you know, praise and all of a sudden slandering somebody. It's one or the other. You're in or you're out. This will be a voice for the voice of God. This will be a voice that declares the goodness of God. This will be a voice that blesses. This will be a voice that speaks forth the word of God, or this won't be a voice for God. But mouths that glorify God, that edify one another, church, that bless, that encourage, that give hope, that speak life, they see the active power of God at work within them. The older I've gotten, the more I want to hang out with people that have this thing right. I want to rub shoulders with people that believe what it is that this word actually says. Because if their words don't line up with this, I don't want to hear it. It's bad news. I believe that complaints keep seasons from shifting. I believe that complaints are like seeds that abort desired miracles. Now, how many of you know tonight that the declaration of the Word of God over any situation can move any mountain? This is the power of the Word of God, of speaking life. And this Bible, church, is the Word of God. This word that we have in our life, church, this very word that He has given us, it is a sword. It is a sword to be used for righteousness. It is a sword to be used for the honor and the glory of God. The Bible says that it can cut so deep that it can divide the bone from the marrow. It can divide the soul from the spirit. And it's this very word that we need to remember, that we need to rehearse from our mouths, that we need to declare over every situation once again. Because your willpower is not good enough. Your positive thinking is not good enough. Those things won't get you into heaven. But declaring the word of God and understanding the power in which you possess, church, will transform your life. And it'll transform the lives of everyone around you. Amen? I believe that the Word of God can tear down strongholds. How about you? I believe that the Word of God can abolish arguments. And the Word of God is the only thing, the Bible says, that will last forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, He says, but My words will remain. This is how powerful this thing is. This earth is going to go up in smoke one of these days. It's not going to be here anymore. It's going to crumble, man. I mean, they're destroying it by the minute. But the Bible says that this word, church, when believed, when confessed, when declared, when hoped in, when trusted, when adhered your life to, this word, church, is active, it's living. It's transformational, it changes generations. Because this is how powerful it is. But listen, this word, God's voice, was never intended for us to misuse. I'll say that one more time. This word of God was never intended for you and I to misuse it in any way or to profit for our own selfish gain, to use it to extort or control. But rather, it was given for us to tell the gospel story. That is to open the eyes of those that would see that there is a God in heaven who loves them so much that he would send his perfect son to die for our sins. And that everyone that would believe what these words say would not perish but have eternal life. And when those who would possess this word as their own, and they would possess this word if they would use it as a tool to divide or to destroy or to indulge in their own desires, then listen, they've taken the very thing that was given to us as a blessing and they've used it as a curse. I believe when the church understands that there is power in his word and that the God of this word and the very words of God can be used to turn any situation, church, from darkness to light, from dead to living, from hopeless to hopeful, from hurting to happy, from sick to healed, then there is nothing that is stronger in this life than believing his spoken word over you. This is the most powerful thing, church. But we need to receive it in our life. Amen. When you've received this treasure in your heart and in your life, you truly have life. When you receive this very book and all it contains, the sweet stuff, the bitter stuff, the promises, the things that make you feel good, and even the things that cut deep. When you receive it all, church, it becomes a shelter of protection. It becomes hope and deliverance. It becomes strength. It becomes salvation. It becomes healing. It becomes every single thing that you will ever need. And when the enemy tries to bring curses upon your life and curses against you and your family, the Bible says that though the weapon is formed against us, it will not prosper. Because the words of my God, church, the words of my God have the power to save, to heal, and deliver. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 11 says this. He says, "Now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach." He said, "It is not up to heaven so that you have to ask who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it." He says, "Nor is it beyond the sea that you have to ask who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it." He says, "No, the word is very near you." He says, "It is in your mouth and it is in your heart so that you may obey it." He says, "So see, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. And I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him and to keep his commands, his decrees and his laws." He says, "And then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess." He says, "But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess." He says, "But this day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and so that you may love the Lord your God." He says, "Listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. As you stand to your feet this evening, church, I want to pray over you today. I want to pray over us. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your word. I thank you, God, for the power of your word, Lord, for the truth of your word tonight. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for reminding me, Lord, the importance and the power of a spoken word. And Lord, I pray that you would remind us all, Holy Spirit, and you would somehow guard and tame us all from using words the wrong way. And I pray, Lord, that if somehow, God, we have allowed the words of another, God, to hurt us, Lord, we've allowed the words of another, God, to pierce our soul in some way, Father, I pray, Lord, tonight that your word would bring healing, Lord, to their soul. Your word, God, would bring comfort, Lord, to their life. That your word would remind them, Lord, that you are near to the brokenhearted and you save those who are crushed in spirit. And so I bless them in the name of Jesus, God. But if, Lord, we have been those, God, who have allowed, God, our tongues to be loose in some kind of manner, Father, that does not please you, then, Lord, we ask for forgiveness tonight. And I believe every single one of us, God, at one time or another, God, has Lord, allowed our tongue, God, to be a vessel, Lord, for destruction, God, or a vessel, Lord, that has hurt somebody, Father. And so I pray, Lord Jesus, God, that you would, Lord, give us, Father, once again, Lord, tongues of fire. You would give us, God, tongues, Lord, that are purified by your Holy Spirit. And that, God, as we use our words, God, as we use our mouths to declare and to speak, that, God, everything that you have said written in your word, Father, God, these mouths would repeat and declare. These lives and these hearts, Father God, Lord, would speak, God, to the very things that raise themselves up against your word. And God, we would speak the word towards those things, God, to see them destroyed. But Father, may we always be reminded, God, that we would never use the word, Father God, as a tool, God, to simply, God, manipulate or get something that we want, Lord. You've called these mouths of ours, God, to be, Father God, mouths that declare your goodness, Lord, that declare your faithfulness, that declare your truth, God, that are mouths that would honor you, Lord. And so, Father, in these next moments, I want you to lift up your voice, church. I want you to just bless the Lord with your voice tonight. I want you to just bless him tonight. Just thank him. Jesus, we bless you, Lord, right now. We bless you, God. We honor you, Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We love you, Father. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, God, for, Lord, being steadfast in our life. We thank you, God, that you have been our anchor, God. You have been our protector, Lord. You've been our shield, Lord. God, you've been so many things to us, Lord, and we just declare those things tonight, Lord. We just thank you, God, for who you are in our lives, Lord. We thank you for your presence, Lord. And I pray, Father God, that it is these very things that we're doing now, God, that would continue on, Father. That these tongues, God, Lord, would not repay evil for evil or insult for insult, but God, but when somebody insults us, Father God, we would bless them in the name of Jesus. We would bless them in the name of Jesus, Lord. Because you have called us, God, to walk in step with your spirit, God, and not walk according to our flesh, Lord. And so, Lord, we just give, Father God, our speech, Lord. We give, Lord, everything, God, back to you. And we ask, Lord, that you would bless it, God. And that which we speak into existence, God, will be that which you agree with, Lord. And so, Father, we thank you for your word tonight. I pray, Lord, that it's received into every heart tonight, Lord. Bless your church, God. Bless them, God, as they receive your word, Lord. Bless them, God, as they speak life, Lord, into their circumstances. And I pray over them, Lord, tonight, God, if they have a need, let them have sought first your kingdom, Lord, and your righteousness, God. And all these things would be added to them, Lord. And so I pray over those needs tonight, Jesus. That God, you would heal and bless, God, and you would help us understand, God, that maybe if there's been something that's been lingering in our life too long, God, it could be, God, because of unforgiveness that we may have towards somebody. And so I pray tonight, God, that if there's somebody that we've had anger towards, somebody that we've had bitterness towards, God, in the name of Jesus, I ask, Lord, that we forgive them now, Lord. Because, God, you have forgiven us. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for this word. In your name we pray. Amen and amen and amen and amen. How many of you received the word of God tonight? Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.